Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, we saw yesterday from the book of James that Elijah was a man just like us. And we saw that the secret to his being used of God the way that he was that he waited on the Lord. He stood before the Lord as one who serves. So now beginning in verse 7, this is God's word. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you've said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. God sent Elijah with a message of judgment that there would not be any rain until Elijah said so. And it was a period of 3.5 years before the rain returned. We said last time that that meant a terrible drought. Very painful consequences. You can't just go to the grocery store and get food if there isn't any there. Some of us remember the supply chain issues, as they were called, back during the COVID fiasco. And, you know, if you go to the store and there's nothing there, what are you going to do? You can't just take home one of the empty shelves. That's not going to meet the need. Here, the drought was beginning to really hurt. Elijah had been camped in a ravine. That meant he was at the very bottom where any water that was in the soil or whatever is going to eventually find its way out and flow down the ravine. Now, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, Elijah's the one who pronounced the judgment, but Elijah is experiencing the consequences of God's judgment on the land. We said last time that a country or a culture that is hostile to the truth of God and pursues idols, which are nothing in and of themselves, but Scripture teaches us that there are demons behind those idols. When you worship something that isn't God, ultimately you are worshiping spiritual forces that are hostile toward God and will destroy you. So, when a culture does that, God's judgment falls. God is amazingly patient, amazingly merciful and kind, but God warns that you cannot continue in that way. So, now there's no water in the brook. What am I going to do? There was no food in the valley except what God had airlifted in by ravens. But now, when the brook dried up, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. Verse 10, so he went to Zarephath. Please link those two in your mind and in your Bible. The word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath. So he went to Zarephath. That's what it means that he stood before the Lord, that he waited on the Lord, that he was the servant of the Lord. God says go, he went. God says where, and he goes there. And that is what it means for us to be the servant of the Lord. We do what he says. Sometimes it's a delight. Sometimes it's like, are you sure? Really? Zarephath in Sidon was pagan land. Okay? That wasn't part of Israel. And Elijah's whole ministry is about calling Israel to repentance and to obey God, to worship him alone. And now he's going to go live in the land of the pagans, in the land of the oppressors. Israel claimed to worship God, and they didn't. These people didn't claim to worship God. These were pagan nations. They had heard of the God of Israel, but that was not their God. Now, I love this next point. The Lord told him to go there because, verse 9, I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. I have commanded. That's past tense. God has already prepared the way for Elijah by telling a pagan widow who's impoverished that she is supposed to supply the prophet who's about to come with food. I thought God only spoke to prophets. And in the Bible, not today. God speaks to whomever he will. And he does it however he will. He's God. He is sovereign. He's in charge. And when we try and box him in order to make us feel okay about the fact that we're not listening, God's word comes along and says, I spoke to a pagan widow. I spoke to somebody who didn't know me. Every atheist, everybody who says there is no God, exclamation point, according to Scripture, is a fool. But they're not just foolish. They're liars. They're not only saying something that isn't true, they're saying something that they know is not true. Everybody, everywhere knows that there's a God. It is an inescapable truth. The evidence bombards us continually so that the only way not to see it is to go like this. The only way that you don't know there's a God is if you choose to not believe there's a God. But down deep, you know. The old expression, more than a century old, was, there are no atheists in foxholes. When the plane is going down, suddenly people are praying. This woman was from a pagan country. She was a foreigner, not an Israelite, not a Jew, but God commanded her to feed, to supply Elijah with food. And so when he went to the town, there was a widow there gathering sticks, and he called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, now, water was scarce, don't forget. But she was going to do that. And as she's going to do it, he says, and bring me please a piece of bread. This isn't a restaurant, okay? Elijah is asking for a handout. And this woman says, I don't have any bread. All I have is a handful of flour and a little oil. That's it. That's all I got. Now, if that's all she had, can you imagine how perplexing it was, how shocking and upsetting that God had told her, I'm sending someone to you and you're supposed to feed him. She's thinking, I can't even feed myself. I'm planning a last meal that my son and I will eat, and then that's it for us. We're gonna die. We've been trying to make this thing last as much as possible, and we're down to where it's just a handful of flour and a little bit of oil in a jar. And God says, I want you to feed somebody else. That's impossible. Jesus is looking at 5,000 men plus women and children, and he says to his disciples, they need to eat. And the disciples say, where would we get food out here? It would take 8 months' wages to feed these people. And even then, it would just be for all of them to have a little bit. Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. What do you have? That's a question that God asks over and over and over and over and over and over. What do you have? What do you have? She didn't have much. She had very, very little. It's only a handful of flour and a little oil. And I'm gathering a few sticks. Her whole mindset is on little. That is the mindset of tons of people. I don't have much. All I've got is a little of this and a little of that. I'm not very well off. I don't have much. What do you have? What do you have? David was the shepherd boy who took on Goliath with a sling and a stone. What do you have?
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So Elijah said to her, well, never mind. I mean, if that's all you've got, I guess you're not the one. No. He said to her, verse 13, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Whatever you're going through, don't be afraid. Well, I can't help it. I feel fear. He didn't say don't feel fear. He said don't be afraid. That means you don't let the fear control your behavior. Even when you feel afraid, you can say, I will not be afraid. My trust is in God. Elijah said, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you've said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. Do you know what needs to come first in your budget? What you give to God. That needs to come first. When I was a kid, I had a jar in my desk drawer. Yes, I had a desk as a child. What did you think? I had a jar in my desk drawer, and I had written on top of the jar, will a man rob God? It's a quote from the Old Testament. And I had that text on there. And it was a reminder that every time I babysat or cleaned somebody's house or weeded their garden or mowed their grass or whatever I did in order to get money, at least 10% right off the top would go in that jar. Why? As a reminder to me that 100% of everything I have belongs to God. It's not like, well, this part is God's. No, it's all God's, and this is my reminder. God gets the first part of our income. Well, Pastor Wood had that work out for you. Very nicely, thank you. Because what I've discovered is that you cannot outgive God, and I'm not the first person to learn that lesson.
So the idea here is give so that you can get.
No, the idea is you have already been blessed. Say thank you to God by being obedient to what he tells you. First, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. So she obeyed. And guess what? It's our main point for today. Verse 16, the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord. That's the main point. I want you to remember that, and remember this story, and remember the truth that God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. She went away and did as Elijah had told her, so there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. Because God made sure that there was. So, sometime later, that's the same phrase as at the beginning of the section. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. Man, do you ever feel like you can't catch a break? Do you ever feel, you know, this happens and then this happens. And it's like, oh boy, well, I'm just going to try and trust God and be faithful in the midst of it. And then something else happens. It's like, God, what are you doing? Why are all these things going wrong? This woman loses her son. He gets sick and he gets worse and he gets worse. Where is Elijah? He's there, living in the house. He had an upper room. But the boy dies. And the woman comes and she says, have you done this? Has God done this in order to remind me of my sin? You see, even though she was part of that pagan nation, she had a conscience, just like you do. And she knew that there were things she had done that were wrong. What do you do with your guilt? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can't do this to make up for that. We need God's grace. We need God's mercy. So, Elijah said, give me your son. And he took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, O Lord my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry. Beautiful. Well, let me tell you something. You may not remember this. Elijah was a man just like us. Elijah was a man just like us. And when this happened, he didn't have a heads up from God. God didn't come to him in this situation and say, by the way, I'm going to cause the little boy to die, and then you're going to pray, and I'm going to raise him up, and then it's all going to be good, and the woman will know that you really are my spokesperson. I would think the woman would have gotten that menu when she never ran out of flour and oil. Wouldn't you? It says sometime later, they've been eating every day. She's got to know that's a miracle. But it's amazing how God can work miracles for us. And we still are like, you know, that is a remarkable coincidence. Just astounds me. People will say, would you please pray? And I pray, and God answers, and then it's like, wow, maybe there is a God. You know there's a God. The reason you don't want to admit it is because you don't want to have to obey him. Elijah prayed, and the Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. And Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. And he gave him to his mother and said, look, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. I want to remind you of something. Elijah was a man just like us. God spoke to a pagan widow. God can use you way beyond anything you would imagine if you will simply wait on the Lord, stand before him and saying, Lord, I'm your servant. I want to do what you want me to do. You tell me what to do and I'll be obedient. There were a lot of days when Elijah's just living down in a ravine with a brook waiting for the next airlift. There were a lot of days when Elijah was just in that upper room at the widow's house, even as her son was getting worse. Not a lot seemed to be going on. He's hiding out in pagan town to stay away from evil King Ahab. Why is he there? What is my purpose? Your purpose is to wait on the Lord, to obey God. He said, go there, stay there. Elijah went. And Elijah stayed, and he would continue to stay until God said, now I want you to go here and do this. That's coming up.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.